In this episode of Startups of the Rest of Us, Mike and I talk about our key takeaways from MicroConf Europe 2015. This is Startups of the Rest of Us, episode 253. Welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us, the podcast that helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at launching software products, whether you built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Rob.
And I'm Mike.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. So where this week, Mike?
Well, with the exception of the loss of my phone in Barcelona, I think it's been a pretty good week.
Is that right? Yeah. So yeah. MicroConf Europe, this is our third European MicroConf. It's our eighth MicroConf in total. And last 2 years we did it in Prague. This year we did it in Barcelona. And you left your phone in a cab.
Yes. It was one of those situations where there was a series of unfortunate events like leaning up to it. And as I got out of the, like, had any of those things not occurred, so for example, if my SIM card had not like needed a password reset because the phone itself died and I needed to put in the PIN code again, but then I lost the card that has the PIN code on it, so I couldn't activate it. So I was walking around with a phone that couldn't actually like connect to anything. And I could have remotely said, hey, go do this, but my phone's floating around in Barcelona someplace. And as I got out of the cab, I had my phone in my hand and I pushed off and I must have opened up my hand and I closed the door. And then I realized, I was like, wait, where's my phone? And as the cab is going away, I was trying to run after it. I could not catch
it. That's a bummer. Well, and the funny thing is our conference coordinator, Xander, did the same thing 2 days earlier and left it in a cab and he wound up getting it back, right? Somebody picked it up and took it to a cafe and he wound up getting it. So it's a bit of a bummer, man. Hold on to your cell phones in the cities.
Yep. I was so close. Like I said, there was a bunch of things that happened and they just all happened just right. And that's how I lost it. I know exactly where it is, actually. It's in that cab.
So we got a lot of comments this year that kind of indicating that, you know, folks who had been to at least one of the prior Europe conferences, some people had been to the two prior, saying that they felt like this was the best European conference we had held. And I don't want to get too far into inside baseball, but what do you think about that? Like, why do you think that's the case?
I think there's a lot of reasons for it. I don't think there's one thing you can point to and say, oh, that's the reason. I think that it was a lot of little things that added up. I mean, the first thing is that obviously this is the third time we've held it over there. So we get a little bit more experienced over time at hosting a conference in Europe because we host them in Vegas, but we kind of have feet on the ground here. And so it's a little bit more difficult to do it over there. But at the same time, we kind of upgraded. I feel like the location of having it in Barcelona, it was a better option than Prague, partially because it's at the end of August and it's warmer. The climate there is just better. It's more conducive to having things outdoors. There was a lot of stuff kind of readily available in terms of being able to go out and go to dinner and things like that. And then the returning attendees, I mean, as you build up a conference and more people are returning, I think that that lends a certain atmosphere to the conference itself. And I think that even if you held it in the same place, it would get better naturally over time because of the attendees. But as more of those people come back, it lends itself to a better atmosphere.
So we want to talk through some key takeaways that we brought away from the conference. We also heard from a lot of attendees some of the key takeaways they had, and I think we'll kind of integrate them here. If you're listening to this and you're interested in hearing a full recap, or I should say reading through a full recap in the detailed notes from each of the talks, you can head to microconfeuroperecap.com, and that is our designated note taker for the Europe conference, Christoph Engelhardt, and he has published a detailed note section on each speaker. So if you want to dig into any one of the talks that we mentioned, that'll be the place you'll want to go. So to kick us off on day one, we had Justin Jackson from Build and Launch Podcast, Product People Podcast, and he talked about marketing for developers because he's writing a book on the topic right now. And he had, I think it was 10 different recommendations for getting your first 100 customers.
Yeah, and some of these things there was a lot of actionable stuff in there, and I think some of these were just completely non-intuitive. And he had some really neat examples, and one of which he was using Google Images to not manipulate, but basically gain attention for images on his websites. And the proof of concept that he used was if you go to Google and you search for nerd mullet in the images, like it'll pop right up. And like there's a picture of him from high school, and it's just really fascinating that there's these little tidbits that you can use that I don't think that most big companies are going to do those types of things, but small companies have the capability and the desire and need to do those things in order to stand out from some of those bigger companies that have a lot more resources. So it was really cool to see all the different tactics and things like that that Justin had put out there for people to take away that they can implement. And none of them were terribly difficult to do. It's just, oh, that's really insightful. Let me write that down. And I heard a lot of people saying, oh, I'm going to go do this or I'm going to go do that based on some of the things that they heard from his talk.
Yeah, there were a couple of things I liked about his talk. Number one is it was 10 discrete tactics and you could kind of pick and choose which one you felt might work for you. The second thing I like is that he used an example of a MicroConf attendee. He actually used their website or their business in each of the points to say this is how he could specifically apply it. And so it wasn't just throwing out tactics, but it was actually trying to weave it into a story. If anything, I would have liked to have seen more examples, right? Because there was the one website, but if you picked maybe two or three, and he would have had time to do it, right? To give examples for each of the tactics for two or three websites, it would have been, I think, even more valuable.
Yeah, and I talked to him. He actually has those examples going into his book. So I think they just didn't make an appearance more than anything else. I'm almost positive that he has them.
Got it. Yeah, I would agree. So our second speaker on day one was Brian Castle, and he was talking about productized services. And the reason we wanted to have Brian out is because he has a productized course. It's a video course and ebook and a Facebook group and stuff. And he's from the Bootstrap Web podcast, and now he runs Audience Ops. The reason I wanted people to hear about productizing is I think that folks often want to make the leap directly to software. And I think if that's really what you want to do, that's okay. But I think that knowing that there's this alternative step that you could take to basically productizing a consulting service is really valuable. And Brian has experience with that because both his previous startup and his current one he's working on are both productized services. And then he had a bunch of examples from people he knows, including yourself, including Justin McGill, who's running LeadFuse, and there were several others. And so it was cool that I like that he outlined the concept and then he just started throwing out examples of exactly how you guys have done it. In your case, it was like building the software first and then turning around and adding the consulting services later to make it more valuable. And in Justin McGill's case with LeadFuse, it was doing the productized service, it's outbound email, doing that first and then going back and launching a SaaS later, which he did just a few weeks ago. And there were other examples like that. So I really liked the structure of his talk and I liked the concept and I felt like it was well communicated to the group.
Yeah, I heard a lot of good feedback from different people who were thinking about launching something or building something. And his talk kind of shifted their focus to, maybe I don't need to write any of this. Maybe I can essentially just offer to do it as a service for people and then build the tools to do the automation afterwards as I learn how to do those things myself, and I understand exactly what it is that the customer wants and needs. So it's definitely a fascinating concept about how to build something complicated that customers have a need for and are willing to pay for, and instead of building first and doing all the customer development, you just work with them directly and essentially do it as consulting and then move on into building something after you've kind of worked out exactly what it is that they need.
Yeah, and I don't think productizing a consulting service is for everyone, but I don't think everyone has heard about it. And I want to continue spreading the word so that people can make their own decision based on whether they really are dead set on getting to software first, or if they really just want to quit their job or quit kind of the hamster wheel of consulting. I think productized services are a faster way to do that for sure.
Yeah, and that's specifically because you can charge so much more for the services because people understand, oh, this is a person behind it who's doing that, and they expect to pay more for that kind of thing. So it gets you to revenue faster.
Right, instead of a SaaS that's $20, $30, $40 a month, productized services tend to be $500, $1,000, or $1,500 a month. They're kind of the price ranges I often see. So you don't need that many customers to be able to quit your job at that level. Our next talk was Sherry Walling, who talked about limits and liabilities and how to get to know yourself and how the limits and liabilities that you carry with you, like in your personality and in your psychology, can apply to both the great things you can do and the things that are going to trip you up with your startup. And she talked about how your past and your origin story can really shape where you're headed and can really help you understand how you react to stress and when you're going to function well and when you're going to probably fail under pressure. And she used specific examples from these founder origin stories we did over on the Zen Founder podcast over the summer. She pulled out specific examples of their stories and how you can tell your own story and apply that to where you are and how to get where you're going.
Yeah, I like that she pulled all those different examples out. And most of the examples, she never said any of the names of them up front. She just basically said, oh, this person from here or that other person from there. And these are the experiences that they had early on in life and how they affected them. And she went through some studies that basically said, oh, if you had these different things that happened earlier in life, this is how they affect you later in life. And it was just fascinating that it has such a profound effect on you. And it was nice that she went through those stories, and then afterwards she revealed who those people were. They're all names that you would probably recognize if you've listened to this podcast before, but it was just fascinating that she was able to take those, and because she presented them in sort of an anonymous way, you could just relate to them. You're like, oh my God, that person went through this after you heard who it was. So it was nice to see those things because it made it, I feel like, more relatable. I mean, I think when you hear stories about a high profile person, you almost mentally project what you know about them now into that story. But if you hear their story first, and if you don't know it that well, if you hear that first and then are told who it is, I think it makes a difference in how you perceive the story and the journey.
Our next speaker on day one was Alex Yumashev from JITBIT Software, and he talked about bootstrapping to a $1 million a year software company. And Alex runs JITBIT, which does, I think JITBIT Help Desk is really their prime product at this point, their flagship. And I thought he had a good talk. I mean, I think I heard a lot of positive feedback about it. He offered a lot of tactics and a lot of his own thoughts on things. Some of the things he said was controversial in terms of talking about some SEO and gray hat and other stuff. But he certainly has experience growing this business and has been doing it for many years and has had many products. And so I think that, you know, his expertise was appreciated at the conference.
The part that I found really interesting was the did this work or not? And he put things up there like retargeting and SEO and stuff like that. And it was fascinating that the audience got some of them right and some of them wrong, because I think that some of them you would just naturally assume, oh, that works. But it doesn't always work. And I think that was his point. It wasn't that this particular technique never works, is that it didn't work for me. And I think that we just tend to naturally assume, oh, this worked for somebody else, so it's going to work for me. And that's not always true.
And rounding out day one, I spoke about the inside story of self-funded SaaS growth. It was basically the story of about the last 18 months of Drip and growing that. And it was very similar to my Vegas talk. I did make some adjustments to it, some things that I learned while giving in Vegas. But overall, I felt like it applied to the folks that were there. It got a good reception. I had a lot of good questions about it. And overall, just felt good about giving it.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of people who were kind of surprised that there was this period of really low months kind of early on in Drip where things were kind of level and you weren't really sure what to do. And then it was very obvious that at some point along the way, you got to product market fit and you were able to essentially overcome that problem. And I just don't think that people realize how important that product market fit is. And I think the specific things that you talked about were that your number of trials were going down, but your revenue was going up because your conversion rates are going up. And as you focus on getting that right, the only reason the trials are going down is because you're spending less time on the marketing side of things. So you're getting less leads in, but those leads are converting more. You're getting more money. And at that point, you know that that's when you've hit product market fit.
And kicking us off on day two was Peldy Gilzoni from Balsamiq. And he talked about a reluctant CEO growing up. And it was basically the growing pains of building a company that he really wanted to be a solo founder. And he reluctantly hired a couple employees. And then he said, well, no more than 5 ever. And then when he hit 10, he said, no more than 10 ever. And he's actually at 20 employees now. And he had just fascinating tales of a kind of a potential acquisition that didn't go through. And just the stress and having to rethink his management structure because he didn't want to have one. And then he found out he needed one. He didn't want any process. And he found out he needed some. And he was super vulnerable and really engaged the audience. At a certain point in his talk, it was actually both his and during Sherry's talk, I looked around about halfway through and everyone was just wide-eyed, pencils down, no laptops clicking, and just super invested in the tale that was being told.
Yeah, that was an amazing talk. And it was just all the stuff that he talked about was stuff that you never see publicly, I don't think, because most people are either acquired or not. And afterwards, they're just generally not able to talk about it. But he did go and get permission from them to talk about his experience and what went right and what went wrong and how it affected him. And I thought the thing that was really interesting was how badly his health suffered during that process, because he was so stressed out and it was so difficult for him. It's one of those things that most people don't talk about, is like how your mental state can affect your physical well-being. And it definitely affected his physical well-being.
The next speaker was Dave Collins, and he talked about the most sincere form of flattery, which of course is imitation. And he spoke about how you don't have to try to reinvent the wheel on your website. If you want improved conversions, if you want a better looking website, look to others who are already doing it well. And he had a bunch of examples of how to do that well and how not to do it well. And in talking to attendees afterwards, I actually got mixed reviews on it. I think some people didn't fully understand what he was saying or didn't agree with it or something. But then I also heard people who took a bunch of notes and are going to apply it to their website. So, you know, in a sense, he kind of had a polarizing talk where I think some people really latched onto it and then others maybe had mixed feelings about what he was saying or didn't follow it, one of the two.
Yeah, I think that when you're in different states of your business, because there's a kind of a life cycle to your business. There's when you're really early on, and then you're kind of middle stage, and then late stage. And depending on where you're at, different things are going to be relevant. And I just feel like some things were more relevant to certain parts of the audience than others. But I mean, I liked it. It was definitely interesting, some of the things that he put out there.
And then we did a bit of an experiment with John Ndege, who has come to, I think, all three MicroConf Europes. And he is a self-funded, non-technical, single founder of a SaaS company. And he has grown it to six figures. And he's working with a non-technical audience, so it's all medium to high-touch sales. And in essence, he did about a 20-minute talk, but it was him preparing slides, and then he led through the slides, and then I actually asked him questions during the talk to clarify some points. So it's kind of an on-stage interview mixed with a presentation. And so far, I've seen mixed reviews about it. I think some folks really like the interview approach because it answered a bunch of questions up front that you might have. I think some folks said, since they were technical founders, it didn't really apply to them, which comes back to your point earlier. But to be honest, the non-technical founders who I talked to, there were maybe four or five who I talked to after his talk, loved it and said his was their favorite because it related so much towards their situation. And I think that's the interesting thing to remember about these talks is, as an individual, you can rate the talks, but it's always based on where you are and your personal biases and your personal thoughts and feelings. I mean, going with John's talk, it was a bit of a risk to go with the new format and to dive into kind of what a non-technical founder has to do. But I think it was totally worth the experiment. And I think it's likely something that we'll do again in the future.
Yeah, I haven't gone through and looked to see specifically from the feedback what people thought of it. But I thought it was an interesting format to have on stage. And I liked the fact that it was kind of like a 20-minute talk or so. So it wasn't like a full 40 minutes. And it wasn't a attendee talk, which was only 12. It was kind of that sweet spot in the middle. But there was a lot of actionable stuff in there. But again, as you said, like specifically for like a non-technical founder. And as you said, there were a lot of those people in the crowd. So it was nice to hear from those people, hey, I got a lot out of it, and it tells me how I can approach things. But we do get a lot of people asking us on this podcast, how can I do this as a non-technical founder? And one of the things that he said that I hadn't necessarily realized before was that when he's onboarding his customers, he talks to every single one of them. And I don't know what his price points are, but I think they're like $100 to $200 a piece. But because he talks to every single one of them, he gets all of that customer development and feedback that he needs to help guide the development of the product itself. And I think that's the important piece for those non-technical founders, is like they need to know exactly what their customers want.
And then we had Rachel Andrew from Perch, who is a returning MicroConf Europe speaker. And she talked about no exit plan. She talked about how her and her husband have launched their business and they stopped consulting and everything's going well, except for they don't feel like they can take a vacation and they feel like they're tied to this business and they feel like they haven't been having enough money to hire someone who can help them with it. And so the talk really was her thinking through how to do this. And she wanted to kind of talk to folks out there who are just thinking about getting to the point of quitting their job to maybe think past that and to not just focus on the short-term goal, but to be thinking, okay, once I get there, what am I going to do after the next step in order to not be tied to this thing and basically not build yourself a job? Because that's not what you want, right? You want to build a business that you can certainly make money from, but that you can also be free of when you want to be.
Yeah, that was something else is probably not talked a lot about. I mean, she was talking at one point about how she was answering support emails on Christmas. And it's kind of a typical day that a lot of people take off. And she's sitting there answering support emails. And there she talks about how she was working essentially 365 days a year. But on the other hand, she loves what she does. And I think that's why most of us do what we do, is because we really enjoy not just this mode of business, but the things that we're working on. Like, that's why we do what we do, is because we want a job that we love, not because we just want a job. I mean, if you want a job that you don't love, I mean, that's why most of us have those regular 9-to-5s. But if you want something that you really want to work on and you're passionate about it, it's okay to make less money if you love what you do.
And rounding out our 10 main stage speakers at the end of day two is Patrick McKenzie. He was talking about leveling up, in essence, stair-stepping his way up from bingo card creator through appointment reminder, through consulting, and then to what he's doing today, which is Starfighter, his current startup. And he actually tweaked the presentation. It was very similar to his one that he did in Vegas 4 months ago, but he tweaked it based on some feedback there, and he pulled out the part about selling an app. And he added some more things that I think were more relevant to the European audience, where there's slight more bent towards being at the beginner end of the scale and kind of having just launched or being close to launch rather than being further along.
Yeah, some of the people that I talked to had some interesting things to say about Patrick's talk in terms of where he was with appointment reminder and how interesting it was to see that I'm actually further along than appointment reminder is, or where I thought it was. Or it's interesting to see how he had like a very rough spot in the middle there, because you see super successful people and you just assume that pretty much everything that they do, they knock out of the park. And that's not always the case. And different businesses are harder than others. Some things are a lot easier, some things are a lot harder. And it's difficult to know without seeing all of the data. And obviously, a lot of that information is not necessarily public information to see. But yeah, I mean, I really liked how he tweaked a lot of it to make it applicable to those people who are earlier on.
Yeah, and I think in Vegas and then in this talk, really was the first time he talked about appointment reminder revenue in public, because I had not heard him say it, or maybe he had published a blog post at some point.
Yeah, I think he talked about it in Vegas.
Okay, that was kind of his first time, yeah. And it was eye-opening for everybody just to see where it was at certain points as he's cranking along and just how long that slow SaaS ramp of death is. So we also did something for the first time in Europe this year. We did attendee talks, and we've done these in Vegas for a few years, I think the last three, where basically folks who already have tickets can submit talk ideas and then they get voted up by the other attendees. You have a certain amount of votes, and whatever rises to the top, we do that many talks. And so we did 6 attendee talks. It was our first time in Europe. And while we don't have time to go through all of them, I did want to call out, I thought Anders Petersen's talk was pretty cool. I mean, he basically talked about how he had tripled his revenue, and that was the clickbait headline, he said, that he used. But in essence, he had tripled his revenue by raising his prices. Oh, and it was based on some other feedback that Dave Collins had given him in a teardown a couple years before in Prague. And so it was nice for him to loop it back and basically talk about some of the like health struggles he had had and some of the emotional struggles, and how MicroConf Europe, the first year in Prague, was the first time he had ever kind of found his people and realized there were other people out there doing what he was doing. And it gave him this great sense of belonging. And so he really kind of paid homage to that and was thankful and said that the reason my revenue tripled in essence was kind of from being around all you people. And I'm still learning, but I want to now give back to you guys. And so I was inspired by his attendee talk.
Yeah, the other interesting part about his attendee talk was how quickly that turned around. Wasn't it he implemented all the changes, or most of them, within 48 hours? And 1 week later, after he'd implemented those things, that's when he realized, like, oh my God, I just tripled my revenue by doing these small tweaks that I learned at MicroConf.
Exactly.
So yeah, it was just fascinating to see that change of revenue based on solely marketing, because he didn't change the product, really. It was all about the marketing stuff that he did.
Yep. Yeah, because it was something like getting rid of a free plan or a free version of it. And so it was only charging for it, and then actually going after the sale, and it was tripling his price. I think it was those three things. Like when I say go after the sale, I think it was like sending a single follow-up automated email or two after someone downloads it. So it's just some basic stuff, but he said that instantly kind of it flipped a bit, and it's been making that revenue, that triple revenue, ever since. So that's good.
Yeah, and we had a bunch of sponsors for MicroConf Europe as well. Anders was one of the sponsors who happened to be giving that attendee talk through his time block application, which is something new he's working on. But there was also teamwork.com. They had 4 people come over there, and they're getting to be a really, I say really big company, but it's 30 to 35 employees. That's, I guess, really big in our circles.
Yeah, well, I've heard, and I mean, I don't know how you qualify this, but I've heard that they are the largest bootstrapped startup in Ireland. That's pretty cool. Now, whether they are or not.
I think in all of Europe.
No.
All of Europe.
Wow. Yeah, it's really impressive.
Peldy was also a sponsor with Balsamic, and we had Craig Hewitt from Podcast Motor. the other sponsor was DN Simple, and they called out a URL from the stage for a comic strip that they put together basically on how DNS works. And the URL was howdns.works. So if you go there, you can download their comic strip. It was really interesting having every single sponsor was essentially a bootstrapped company. It's something that we haven't had in the past, but it was really amazing to see not just people from the community, but just bootstrappers in general saying, hey, this is something that we really believe in and we want to be part of.
Yep, that's what I liked. And big thanks to all the speakers who came out. They have busy schedules and they still came out and spoke. And of course, to the sponsors, because we really couldn't pull this off without them. Yeah, overall, I feel really good about this year, man. I mean, I agree with folks. I think this was probably the best one we've done in Europe. And I guess we'll see in the feedback once that comes back, whether it holds true. And now we're already working on MicroConf Vegas. Should be next April-ish in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think Xander said that our contract is signed. So.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good.
I believe it is. I believe it is. So a couple of days before MicroConf Europe started, I think he said that he got the signed contract back. So I think we're good there.
Very good. And so if you're interested in rubbing elbows with 150 to 200 other bootstrapped software founders who are either from just getting started to having launched, to have employees, I mean, anywhere in that range, that's what MicroConf's about. And we hold it, obviously, in Vegas in April, and then we hold it in Europe sometime in the fall. Head to microconf.com and enter your email address, and we'll notify you when tickets are available. Tickets really don't make it to the open market anymore. They sell out before the email list is exhausted. So if you think you might want to come, get on the list. Otherwise, we'll see you back here next week.
And if you have a question for us, you can call it into our voicemail number at 1-888-801-9690 or email it to us at questions@startupsforthestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Startups and visit startupsforthestofus.com for a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.